Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, you're listening to Friends with Money. I'm Michelle Baltazar, Editor-in-Chief at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. When it comes to money, lifestyle, and expectations, what does retirement really look like? You might be surprised that it's not entirely what you think it is. To unpack this topic, we are joined by Adam Netheim, Chief Customer Officer at Commonwealth Superannuation Corporation, or CSC for short. CSC is the winner of our 2025 Best of the Best Award for Innovation in Retirement. So this is most definitely in Adam's wheelhouse. Adam, welcome to Friends with Money.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
You've just come back from a global tour where you met with pension and retirement organizations. Can you tell us what stood out to you the most? Are there any global trends or a country or organization that is doing something particularly well or taking a different approach that Australia could learn from?
Yeah, it was a great 2 weeks that Damien Hill and my CEO and myself spent overseas talking to lots and lots of fascinating people. Look, longevity was a core theme of all of the people that we spoke to. Every population in the world seems to be living longer, and of course, that's stretching the ability for super funds to make up enough money to help people retire well. Certainly a lot of trends or themes around personalization and digitization, and where a lot of companies have talked about customer cohorts, they're really leaning into the cohorts of one. You know, that was a significant piece as well. Early retirement and financial coaching. So long before people get into their 50s and 60s, you know, how do you help people decades in advance start to set up for their retirement shift? And along with that, still the complexity or challenge across the world around getting people engaged in superannuation early enough to make some of the early shifts. I think some real standouts, though. I mentioned digitisation, but now it's not digitisation or human. It's the augmentation between the two that was really significant. How do you help a customer have some of their experience digitally and some of their experience through humans? And I think that's a big shift from where we were as an industry some decades ago with robo-advice, where it was all digital and no humans, and maybe not as successful as people thought it might have or should have been.
Yes, I do recall those days when we were talking about robo-advice, and I just thought of it as just another term that we use in the industry. But then I spoke to a friend of mine who said, Michelle, that sounds scary. There's robo. So even just the word robo. So to hear you talk about augmented retirement planning, for example, it's human, augmented by technology, sounds really good to me. Now let's bring it back home and relate it to everyday Australians thinking about or already in retirement. Have your tour learnings given you some different perspectives about how they could be approaching this period in their lives, assuming that they haven't had the early retirement coaching that you talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should be really clear too, in some domains in the world, Australia is seen as the leader. So part of the tour was actually us helping others, and particularly the UK and Canada, where DC superannuation accumulation accounts is a much newer thing for them than it is for Australia. We've been doing defined contribution for decades. They're doing it for about a decade. So they're actually learning as much from us. But things that we brought back and some things that we were already thinking of and the tour helped confirm for us, retirement is not just one element in your life. It's a continuum. You know, even when people have retired, you start your retirement, where you end your retirement is vastly different from where you start. You know, where you start, you're younger in your retirement, you're active, you're probably wanting to do more things in your day-to-day. When you get 20 years down the track, you're probably a little more relaxed about the things that you're looking to do. The work, stop, retire is also not the three phases of life anymore, because so many more people are working in their retirement, and whether it's paid work or volunteer work or, you know, working for some kind of charity or purpose, you know, that is a significant shift that I think we're also beginning to understand in Australia. As I kind of mentioned, I do think we're leading the way in some of these elements, and some of this is, you know, was news to some other parts of the world. But I think also breaking down the simple steps that people need to take into retirement was one of the learnings. And particularly in the UK, we spoke to one group who talked about giving every individual as they approach retirement five things they need to do. Now, those five things could be different for each person. So they are advancing in their cohort of one approach, but really simplifying to a handful of steps. Now, here's the things you need to do in order to get your retirement in the best possible position.
I like the sound of that. It feels like work, stop, retire just sounds so kind of siloed, and we don't live like that. You know, we have hobbies that we pursue while we're working, and then you kind of semi-retire, maybe take that 1 year off gallivanting around the world once you're not in full-time work. And certainly a lot of people, and this is definitely the trend right now, is that we're becoming more philanthropic, where we're trying to be more engaged with the community. So I am not surprised at all that this is one of the focus right now. You've authored an article where you titled it Becoming Your Retirement Partner. I haven't really heard of a super fund talk about being a retirement partner. It was always like, you're the super fund, and then when it's time for me to draw down my money, I just come to you like a bank. So that is definitely a different kind of language when it comes to talking about superannuation and your retirement. You've described retirement in this article as more than just a financial milestone. Once someone is retired, what do you think, what does a truly supportive partner experience look like? More importantly, what kinds of things do you think funds should be doing to support people during this phase?
Yeah, great question. A little bit of background. CSE, we've been around for over 100 years. We've helped people retire in that right throughout that period. But what we've done is we've administered retirement. As you said, somebody comes to us and we help them get their money back. That's the administration side of retirement. This retirement partner notion is, how do we help people engage in both the financial side of retirement, but also the non-financial side, which is just as critical. So how do we help people gain confidence? How do we give them coaching in order to get to, you know, their kind of nirvana in retirement? That's that partnership arrangement. And again, that's going to be very different for different people. But the emotional and practical preparation for retirement is just as critical as the financial side. In my career, which in this industry has spanned a number of decades, I've seen lots of people retire with lots of money. They don't have any financial challenges at all, but their retirement's not a happy retirement. It's actually quite a sad retirement. And that leads to one of the greatest challenges in Australia, that people don't spend well in retirement. And that's a problem for the economy. So it's a social issue for us. So we're looking at, how do we help people understand their purpose in retirement? How do we understand the change that they need to go through? Because when you're working, there's a structure to work. When you retire, the structure disappears. So what are the kind of things that people might need from a structural perspective to feel that they've got control and kind of a definition in their life? What's the status change for people? So a number of funds, not just CSE, we have people who do really important jobs. And, you know, from a CSE perspective, the military is a great example. One of these days, these people are going to take off their uniform and become a retiree. That's a big status change for them. That's quite an emotional change for a lot of them. So how do we help people overcome those kind of changes? So these are the kind of things that we are thinking about in being a retirement partner. Now, there's an element here which I think is really interesting. The sole purpose test of that superannuation funds are bound by is about the financials. So I think we need to see some relaxation around the sole purpose test in order to do this well. While CSE has started down this path, I actually think funds will be compelled to move in this direction. I'm not sure it'll be a choice. I think the government will say to the super industry, You've got over $4 trillion. This is partially your responsibility to help people have successful retirements, not just well-financed retirements. So hopefully we are leading the way in this. We are having conversations with government and regulators to some degree around this kind of shifting thinking. And I'm hoping we would see, if that's a requirement on super funds, that the government would help support funds being able to do this safely and without being challenged around things like that sole purpose test, which I mentioned.
I think it's great that you think the industry is moving in this direction. You also mentioned the word continuum, because you talked about retirement not being a fixed point, but a transition. So for those who have already retired, what are some practical things they can do to manage the transition and adjust to life after full-time work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can talk about the financials. You know, for those in retirement, understand your income needs, appreciate or understand your income sources, take stock of your spending patterns. You know, I think when you're working and you know you're getting a fortnightly steady income, you probably spend in a particular pattern. When you move into retirement, that pattern changes. And as you just said, a lot of people restrict their spending as opposed to enjoying their spending and doing the things that they really like to do. Understanding your longevity is really critical in that. So both pre and post-retirement, I think people should have an understanding of their longevity. How long are you going to last? Now, at CSE, every month our CEO is writing 20 100-year congratulatory birthday cards. We have a quite an extended lifespan in our membership, and that's continuing across all of Australia. So you have to have a look at the factors around you and how long that looks like you're going to live. Being engaged, you know, some retirees, and this is the way retirement used to be, some retirees might think that, you know, what they want to do in retirement is read the paper every day and, you know, maybe have a hit of golf once a week or something like that. I think more and more as retirement is extended, that is not fulfilling people's human needs. So being engaged, whether it's philanthropic, whether it's a hobby, you know, create engagement methods for yourself. You know, there's the health aspects, you know, the any doctors out there would be telling us, you know, we have to stay active, you have to stay moving, you know, you've got to get a certain amount of steps up every day, you know, all those type of things. I think there's a range of elements that people can undertake. That structure piece, I think, is really important. Again, it might be more important when you retire and less important later on in your retirement, but to begin with, it can keep your mental faculties in the right shape. And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about doing puzzles and regular reading and you know, being engaged in conversations with people because it keeps the brain active. And unfortunately, I think even as we see retirement extend, we're also seeing a lot more people have cognitive decline during retirement. And that's another challenge that people have to deal with. So how people keep their brain alive and active is going to be critically important to how successful their retirement is.
Are you kidding me, Adam? I envision my retirement to be skydiving at 85 with CSC's base of military officials. I'm sure they're all kind of going out there scuba diving or doing something really active. And this is the trend. Being a centenarian is no longer the exception based on predictions. And we're living healthier. We have early retirement, if you like. For our money listeners who are in their 20s or 30s or 40s, this is still the right time to prep for this, because then the sooner you prepare, the easier the transition, the longer time you have to kind of design your next move. Finally, Adam, you've mentioned this before, that planning for your retirement doesn't just stop when you retire. It is a continuum. It is an ongoing thing. Tell us, what are some of the key things, let's narrow it to three, that people should be reviewing or doing in retirement to stay in control and confident about their financial future?
Staying on top of your retirement product is as important as staying on top of your superannuation product while you're accumulating. So understanding what's happening in the world, understanding what that means for your investments, whether you should make some shifts, those kind of things are really important both pre and post retirement, particularly from an ability to maintain an income source. Stay on top of when you might need or when you might plan to create another income source. So some retirees won't need any of the aged pension at the start, but they may need it towards the end. And that's what the aged pension is still there to do. The aged pension is not disappearing anytime soon. It is there to supplement the basis of your superannuation account. And that's a really important feature. I know, again, certainly in my career, I've seen people who have said, I've got enough money, I'll never need the aged pension and I'm not expecting to get it. But the reality is they do get to the point where they do need some of that. The third thing I think, which is really important, is most of us are going to either need to think about downsizing our home or think about a shift into aged care. So being very planned around that and some early planning around that is really important, because those are complex situations to deal with, both financially and emotionally. And again, the earlier you plan for these things, the more successful you'll be in making that transition when it comes. So, you know, they'd be a couple of things that I'd be taking into my retirement that I need to continue to think about. And of course, if you're in a partnered relationship, working on that from a home perspective, not from an individual perspective, because that makes a big difference to all of those elements. So the household wealth and the household position as opposed to the individual position.
Well said. I don't know how you did it, Adam, but we've covered such a dense topic there. But I've learned a lot of new things here. To recap, we talked about early retirement coaching. We talked about augmented retirement planning, if you like. And much to my relief, that there will still be age pension, likely age pension, in the not too distant future. Adam, thank you for your time.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me. And I hope everybody gets something out of the conversation we've just had.
Until next, I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.